Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am so glad that you're with me today. You all know that one of the things that I really enjoy doing is working on building. And a lot of times that has to do with building relationships. Relationship can be so beautiful when it's working the way it's intended to work. Sometimes things can go wrong, though, and we need to figure out, okay, what do we do about this? Well, William Harris is joining me today to talk about when one of the most beautiful aspects of relationship goes wrong, and that is our sexuality. He's with an organization called Men Can Stop Rape, and he's going to be discussing with us ways that men and women can help prevent rape. William Harris, it's good to have you on board with us today. How are you doing?
Thank you, Carl. I'm really glad to be here. Hopefully I'll be able to shed some light on the organization and the work that we do, and I look forward to having a conversation with you today. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And definitely you'll be at the early part of this able to share with us some information about the organization. Before you talk with us about the organization, I would like for you to just kind of segue into that by starting out by giving us a little bit more detailed intro than I did with who William Harris is. Share with us some of the things that kind of shaped you as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, and how that shaping eventually led to you. You know, share with us your specific role with Men Can Stop Rape and how the shaping along the way led you to your current mission.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and I guess some of the things that that helped shape me in regards to the city. It's a very diverse city, so I was exposed pretty early on to a lot of different cultures and a lot of different lifestyles, and I definitely think that contributed to some of the decisions and some of the places that I ended up going in my early adulthood. I went to Bucknell University for my undergrad, and where I studied history and political science. After that, I moved back to Washington, D.C., where I taught high school English language and composition for about 3 years. And then I moved to South Korea, where I also taught English for 2 years. So I think that I've always been interested in traveling and experiencing different cultures and different lifestyles. So I think that my involvement in Men Can Stop Rape's most clubs is the Men of Strength clubs that we do with high school, middle school, and college young men across the country really helped shape my understanding of what it meant to be a man in modern day society, and really encouraged me to go out and seek different experiences so I can come back and tell people in my community. And so now I'm working at Men Can Stop Rape as a communication specialist. So I've been working on the website and designing some of the communications that we do on a daily basis for our young people, and also for some of the partnerships that we have in D.C. So yeah, I hope that helps to answer your question.
Absolutely. And you mentioned your work with young people. What age range are we looking at?
You mean for myself personally or for the organization?
The organization.
Yeah, so we work with middle school, high school, and college-age young men, so anywhere between the ages of 14 to about 24, college-age, 21.
That's a good age range.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the ways that we've been able to be so successful is just making sure that, these young people have, role models and people that they can look up to. So actually all of the people who run our clubs are facilitators, and they're trained by the organization, and they have experience working with young people in various capacities. So it's really about allowing, people who work with us and the young people that we support to, see, positive examples of men in their lives. Also working through the organization and the club's curriculum, but also just being a visible mentor that they can turn to and trust and confide in.
And, William, I'm so impressed. There are so many organizations across the country where people are really striving to help our young people be the best they can be in so many different areas. When it comes to Men Can Stop Rape and the work that you all are doing with our young people, again, as you mentioned, primarily age 14 to 24, it is amazing how effective you all have been. And I'm thinking particularly now about the fact that the work that you all are doing has had such a tremendous impact that Men Can Stop Rape is literally an award-winning organization.
Right. Yeah, and I think that just goes back to the like the commitment that we have to our young people. So we, you know, in addition to providing, you know, like primary prevention training and technical assistance to organizations and college campuses and even various branches of the U.S. military, we've also like partnered and done a lot of work in the community with a lot of other, you know, organizations that are in the field. But I think that the longevity of the organization, it definitely stems from the work that we've done in the Most Clubs and working with the young people. So it started in Washington, D.C. in 1997, and since then we've spread to, we have organizations and chapters all across the country.
That is so amazing. And so what is the focal point, the major mission of the organization, and how do you see that playing out in the 21st century, especially in the midst of the, and you let us know if there seems to be some kind of distant connection or really no connection, especially, you know, what you're doing 21st century in the midst of now the Me Too movement.
Right, right. And I think that I think that's a great connection to make. I think that, you know, some of the things that we see play out on the national level, whether it be, people coming out, you know, survivors or of sexual assault coming out and speaking on like a national platform. I think that that's kind of just like a reflection of, you know, society in general, right? So if we go back to looking at like smaller communities, you know, all of those things that happen in a broader society are reflections of what happens in smaller communities. But just to go back to the organization, like what we try to focus on, we really want to focus on young men, because we believe that young men are the ones who can really be like visible allies and support their female counterparts as it relates to preventing sexual assault and domestic violence. And we do that by promoting what's called healthy masculinity. And so what that encourages young men to do is to think about ways that we try to get them to think about ways that they've been told, you know, what it means to be a man. So we analyze movies, popular culture, whether it be music, sports, commercials, movies, anything you can think of. And we really try to get the young men to think about in a critical way, you know, what do these images or what do these ideas say about what it means to be a man. So like one of the first things that young boys are told, you know, at a very early age, you know, is like the idea that boys don't cry. Right. And so once you're told that as a young man, you're kind of put into like this box, right? So we call that box we call it like the dominant story of masculinity. And within that box, you know, you have all these rules and guidelines that you have to follow in order to be considered, you know, a quote unquote real man. Right. So what we try to do is we try to debunk that and give our young men like the tools to think critically about the messages they receive from their parents, from their teachers, from society, from their peers, and try to encourage them to adopt what we call the counter story, right? So the counter story of masculinity says that, you know, as a man, for example, that it's okay to cry. It's okay to show affection towards another man. It's okay to be vulnerable, right? So we're really just trying to get our young men to kind of like challenge the traditional ideas around masculinity, with the end goal of having our young men being able to support women and girls in the fight against domestic violence.
I got you.
And sexual assault.
And sexual assault. All right. Mm-hmm. So is part of that discussion also then a revealing to these young men of what it means for a woman to practice or live out practical femininity? In light of the fact that they too, in fact, we are both given, males and females are given, some pretty interesting information, messages about what it is to be a female, a woman, to be feminine.
Right, right. And so in addition to the Most Club, the Men of Strength club that we work with young men and boys around these issues. We also have a WISE club, which is basically the same as the MOST club, but for young women. And we really encourage like the same ideas of, you know, really unpacking, you know, what it means or what idea society gives young women and girls around what it means to be a woman, and really encouraging, you know, the young ladies that participate in our programming to think about ways that they can, you know, work to kind of like break down some of those more stereotypical roles as it relates to being young women. And what I found, and I think is like really encouraging, is that, and this goes for like the MOST Club and the WISE Clubs, I really find that the young men and young women really embrace this idea because it's quite revolutionary when you think about it, you know, giving young people the space and the opportunity to discuss these type of ideas, not only with us in terms of the organization, but also with their peers, right? I don't think that it's, you know, if I look back at my my childhood, I don't think I was really ever given, you know, space to really think about, you know, what it means to be a man or what ideas am I getting around masculinity from, whether it's like the, you know, pop culture or from like even from my own parents. So I think the important thing is just like really giving, you know, our young people the space to come up with these ideas. And a lot of times when they're able to work together, I would actually say more often than not, when they're able to work together and think about ideas and have discussions, they're really able to reach really like really powerful conclusions. And so I think that's, you know, that's all a part of it, just like giving the young people the space to discuss these topics, whether it be young men or young women. But I think you're exactly right. I think young women are also socialized in ways that are very similar to the way that we socialize young men and boys.
I'm encouraged by the fact that you're having such a positive response from the young people. So generally speaking, when a young man, young woman, whichever, first gets involved in this, do you notice whether or not there's any resistance because they have a difficult time just letting go of what they've already been indoctrinated into? Or does it seem like they quickly gravitate to this reality, this new reality that they're being presented?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a really great question. And, you know, I think about my own involvement. I joined the MOST Club when I was in high school. I was in ninth grade. My best friend and I joined the club. And to be honest, the reason we joined the club in the beginning is because we saw, you know, that there was a group of, you know, upperclassmen, and for some reason, every Thursday at lunchtime, they got pizza. So what we like to say is that, you know, our young people, you know, come for the pizza, but they stay for the conversation, right? And I think that, you know, in my own experience, I definitely think there was a bit of resistance, you know, like on my own part, because what I think it is, I think, you know, once you kind of, you know, start to see things differently and start to see things for the way they really are, and it goes against like almost everything you've been taught, you know, like your entire life, it is very difficult to process that and to think critically and to reflect. So what we like to do is we just like, and then this is why I think our model is so effective, is because we really give the young people the space to work out their ideas on their own and with each other. And so yeah, for in my own experience, it was very difficult to, you know, sit down and like think about all of these ideas. So I definitely think there is a bit of resistance, but as we work through the curriculum, our curriculum is a 22-week curriculum. So as we work through different facets of the curriculum, each one, you know, building on things that have been talked about in the previous session, I think it becomes like more apparent that this is, you know, if you're going to be like a change agent in today's society, that you're almost constantly going to be in a state of you know, just like thinking and processing things critically. So I think it was definitely a way for me to get used to kind of like that feeling. So like even, you know, in my experience as an educator, you know, just constantly thinking about ways that I can improve or ways that I can do things differently or ways that I can challenge, you know, like the power structures. I think that's definitely something that came through with my involvement in the MOST Club. But yeah, to answer your question, there's always a bit of resistance. But I think everybody also, like each individual, each student, or each member reaches their own conclusions kind of like in their own time. Mm. So another kind of like tenet that we have is to, you know, meet the young people where they are, right? So we want to offer them the space to, you know, think critically and engage in the material and engage in the conversations. But we also want to allow them to, grow and develop their own ideas at their own pace. So I think it's like really effective.
I love that. And I love the fact, William, that you're connecting with the young people as young as age 14, teaching them how to think critically. And of course, although the primary focus, of course, is as we talked about, you know, relationship, and particularly we'll get into further down in the conversation, relationship as it pertains to sexuality, but critical thinking being a skill that they can apply to any area of life. And I'm excited about the fact that you all help them as young as age 14, which of course is a critical age.
Absolutely.
And for them to learn that at that stage of their lives, I think is awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, is Mr. William Harris. He's communications director with Men Can Stop Rape. He and I are going to be talking more about sexuality in general as he gets ready to move from there to talk with us about some of the aspects of sexual deviance and what can be done about it. In fact, what is being done about it? He's already shared with us some powerful clues on that already. Stay with us. There's more to come. Just a few.